Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be looking closer at Bristol-Myers Squibb.
BMS,
yeah. Their third quarter performance in 2024. You've provided us with some
excellent
sources. Their financial reports, A&D, the transcript from their earnings call. So we've got the numbers, A&D, the inside scoop.
Yeah, that's right. These sources give us a great starting point to really analyze BMS's current position, their strategy, you know, and the challenges and opportunities ahead.
Okay, so let's dive in. BMS reported a net loss for the first 9 months of 2024, almost $9 billion.
Wow.
But flipping through the earnings call transcript, their tone seemed surprisingly upbeat. How do we reconcile that?
That's interesting, isn't it? One key lies in understanding how BMS is using non-GAAP financial reporting.
Right.
Their adjusted earnings, the numbers they highlight exclude certain costs, you know, especially those tied to their recent acquisitions.
Right.
It's a way to paint a more positive picture, which is perfectly legal.
Sure.
But we need to consider both the GAAP and non-GAAP numbers to really get the full story.
You mentioned acquisitions, and BMS has been on a buying spree. Three companies this year, Karuna, RazorBio, and Mirati. That's over $20 billion. Are they biting off more than they can chew?
It's a bold move, that's for sure. This aggressive growth strategy raises several questions, you know. Mm-hmm. Are they overpaying?
Right.
Can they successfully integrate these companies, you know, with different cultures, different systems? And most importantly, will these acquisitions actually deliver long-term value?
Okay, so let's unpack one of those acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
Karuna, the company behind the schizophrenia drug, Gobenvy BMS, is touting this as the first new approach to schizophrenia treatment in decades.
And they have reason to be excited. The market for schizophrenia treatments is substantial. There's a real need for innovation.
Yeah.
And we'll want to examine Gobenvy's efficacy data, potential side effects, and how it compares to existing treatments. The research will tell us a lot.
Gobenvy sounds promising.
Yeah.
But BMS isn't without its challenges. They're embroiled in legal battles over their blockbuster blood thinner, Eliquis, with generic drug companies trying to muscle into the market.
These patent battles are incredibly high stakes. Patents are the lifeblood of pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
You know, protecting their innovations and allowing them to recoup their enormous investments in research and development.
Mm-hmm.
Losing patent protection prematurely can severely impact their revenue.
So what's the latest on these Eliquis cases?
Mm.
What's BMS's legal strategy and what are the potential financial consequences if they lose?
Well, the financial reports and the earnings call transcript do provide some insights. One case that stands out is in Australia. BMS and their partner on Plavix, Sanofi, are being sued by the Australian government.
Wow.
For losses caused by an injunction that blocked generic versions of Plavix.
Interesting.
The government is seeking almost $310 million interest.
Even when BMS wins a patent case, it seems there can be significant financial repercussions. What other legal challenges are they facing?
The report highlights that BMS is battling challenges to its Eliquis patents across Europe.
Oh, wow.
They're facing off against generic companies in countries like Belgium, Croatia, France, Ireland, and more.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a constant battle to protect their intellectual property.
It's like a high-stakes game of chess with huge financial implications hanging in the balance.
Exactly. And adding another layer of complexity is the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA.
Right.
Which hangs over the entire pharmaceutical industry. This legislation empowers the government to negotiate drug prices, which could cut into BMS's profits.
That's right. The IRA is a game changer. It allows Medicare to negotiate the price of certain high-cost drugs, and that could impact BMS's revenue significantly. So we were just discussing the looming impact of the Inflation Reduction Act. What does BMS have to say about it?
Well, in the earnings call transcript, BMS acknowledges that the IRA will create pricing pressure on their products.
Okay.
Especially Eliquis, which was actually one of the first drugs selected for price negotiation.
Oh, wow.
They expect it to accelerate revenue erosion for that drug.
So how are they planning to address this challenge?
Well, their strategy seems to have two main thrusts. The first is they're doubling down on innovation.
Investing heavily in research and development to bring new drugs like Kobenfy to market.
Makes sense.
They hope these innovative therapies will offset the revenue losses from their older blockbuster drugs facing generic competition.
And the second part of their strategy?
The second part focuses on maximizing access and adoption for their newer drugs.
Right.
They're working to secure favorable formulary placement for drugs like Kobenfy,
mm-hmm.
making sure it's accessible to patients through various insurance plans.
So they're trying to stay ahead of the curve by bringing new drugs to market while also making sure that those drugs are accessible to patients who need them. But we've focused a lot on the challenges.
Yeah.
What about the positives? Did you see any bright spots in BMS's third quarter results?
Definitely. One standout is the performance of their newer drugs.
Okay.
What they call the growth portfolio. These drugs generated over $5.8 billion in revenue in the third quarter.
Wow.
An 18% increase compared to last year.
Okay. That's impressive. What are some of the key drugs driving that growth?
Well, Opdivo, their immuno-oncology drug, continues to perform strongly, especially in markets outside the U.S.
Mm.
They're also seeing excellent results from Reblozyl, a drug for anemia associated with certain blood disorders.
And we can't forget about Eliquis. It's still their top-selling drug, right?
Right. Eliquis brought in over $3 billion this quarter,
right.
An 11% increase year over year.
So even with generic competition on the horizon, Eliquis is still a major revenue driver for BMS. That's a positive sign.
It is, but it is important to note that they are facing generic competition on other fronts as well.
Okay.
They've already seen generic erosion for Sprycel, and they anticipate more generics to enter the market for Abraxane and Pomalyst.
So they're being squeezed from multiple directions. It sounds like the growth of their growth portfolio is critical to their future success.
Absolutely. The revenue from their newer drugs needs to be robust enough to compensate for the losses they're facing from generic competition on their older products.
It's interesting that BMS's third quarter revenue actually exceeded analyst expectations.
Mm, yes. They reported $11.9 billion in revenue, an 8% increase compared to the same period last year.
So overall, their revenue is still growing despite the headwinds. What about profitability?
That's where things get a bit more complex. Their net loss for the first 9 months of 2024 really underscores the impact of their recent acquisitions and other expenses.
It sounds like they're in a transition phase. They're making these significant investments to acquire new drugs and build out their pipeline, but those investments are impacting their profitability in the short term.
That's a good way to put it. They're placing a big bet on their future, and it will take time to see if that bet pays off. Now, stepping away from the purely financial data, was there anything else in the earnings call transcript that stood out to you?
Yeah, actually, I noticed they talked a lot about patient access to their medications.
Yes, I noticed that too. They discussed their commitment to ensuring broad access to Kobenfy, especially for Medicaid and Medicare patients. It seems they're very conscious of the affordability challenges many patients face, particularly in light of the public and political scrutiny surrounding drug pricing.
They also specifically addressed their use of non-GAAP earnings in the call.
They did. They explained that those non-GAAP earnings exclude certain items that they believe don't accurately reflect their underlying business performance.
Uh-huh.
This includes things like amortization of intangible assets from acquisitions, acquisition and integration costs, restructuring costs, and stock-based compensation.
So essentially, they're trying to present a clearer picture of their ongoing operations by stripping out one-time or unusual expenses.
Right.
But of course, those expenses are still real and shouldn't be ignored completely.
Yeah.
It reinforces the importance of looking at both the GAAP and non-GAAP numbers to get a comprehensive picture.
You're absolutely right. It's all about getting the full context.
Did they discuss their research and development plans for the future?
They did. They highlighted some exciting developments in their pipeline, including advancements in CAR T-cell therapy for blood cancers and promising research in neuroscience and immunology.
It seems they're not afraid to invest in cutting-edge science. What about their overall long-term vision? Did they offer any insights into that?
Their core message was one of growth through innovation. They believe that their investments in R&D and their recent acquisitions will position them for success in a rapidly changing healthcare landscape. They're clearly taking a long-term perspective, and it'll be interesting to see how their strategy evolves over time.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into Bristol-Myers Squibb.
Mm.
We've seen their aggressive acquisition strategy,
mm-hmm.
you know, the potential of their new drug, Cobenfy,
right.
and the challenges they face from generic competition and the Inflation Reduction Act. It's a complex picture, to say the least.
It is. It seems like BMS is at a pivotal point in their journey. Mm. They're making these significant investments in their future while grappling with some very real challenges in the present.
So if you had to boil it all down, what's the most important takeaway for our listeners today? Mm. What should they be watching for as BMS navigates this critical juncture?
I think the key takeaway here is that BMS is walking a tightrope. Their strategy seems to be that they're accepting that some of their biggest earners, like Eliquis, are going to face increasing competition as patents expire.
Right.
They're trying to stay ahead of the curve by pouring resources into new drug development and acquisitions, hoping that those ventures will more than make up for the revenue they'll lose.
It's a high-risk, high-reward strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the chances it will actually work?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the key indicators we should be watching for in the coming months and years to gauge their success?
Well, there are several key things to keep an eye on. First, how effectively are they integrating those newly acquired companies?
Right.
Merging different company cultures, streamlining operations, and realizing the synergies they envisioned.
Yeah.
It's a huge undertaking. If they stumble in this area, those acquisitions could become more of a liability than an asset.
It's a good reminder that spending billions of dollars doesn't automatically guarantee success. What else should we be paying attention to?
The clinical data for their new drugs, particularly Cobenfy, will be crucial. They're calling it a game changer in schizophrenia treatment, but that's based on early data.
Right. Yeah.
We need to see more robust evidence from larger, longer-term clinical trials to know if it truly lives up to the hype.
And of course, we can't forget about the impact of the Inflation Reduction Act. How will BMS manage the government's newfound ability to negotiate drug prices?
That is the million-dollar question. From what they've said in the earnings call, they're keenly aware of this challenge
yeah.
and exploring various strategies to mitigate the impact. But it's a delicate balancing act, you know? They need to maintain profitability while ensuring their drugs are affordable and accessible to patients.
This deep dive has been incredibly insightful. I feel like I now have a much clearer understanding of BMS's current position, their strategy, and the challenges and opportunities they face.
I'm glad to hear that. BMS is a fascinating case study, offering a glimpse into the complexities and dynamics of the pharmaceutical industry.
It certainly does. And it makes me wonder, if BMS is a microcosm of the broader pharmaceutical industry, what does this tell us about the future of drug development? Will we continue to see these mega mergers and acquisitions? Or will there be a shift towards different models of innovation? Something for our listeners to ponder.
That's an excellent question, and the answers will shape the future of healthcare as we know it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Bristol-Myers Squibb.
Until next time.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.